Let me pray and we will jump into the Lord's Prayer and forgiveness. Father God, we thank you that we get to gather here in your presence. Father, we ask that you would guide us by the power of your Spirit. We talk about this, which is so central to our faith, that you are a forgiving God and that we need to practice forgiveness. Open our hearts and minds to understand how serious sin is and all that Jesus has done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's talk about prayer habits. How are we doing? Developing a habit of morning, evening, prayer. That's a challenge. That's kind of what we're focused on in these moments is, all right, how do I develop a lifelong, holistic habit of prayer? Who's finding it really easy to do? You think it's really easy to have a practice?
You set yourself to a, I guess it's like a point.
Okay.
And it's like if you don't do it, you miss it.
I agree, yes.
And so that kind of just draws you to it.
So, Mr. Bob, if we were to ask you, what is the morning habit look like for you? How do you make
sure
you separate?
6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Okay,
you get up at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Or the prayer
comes
happens?
At 6.
All right. Yeah, and so what's that look like? Where are you at? What you doing?
I'm in my living room all by myself.
Okay.
It's quiet.
There you go.
It's dark.
Quiet and dark.
And I don't know, your mind just goes there. Well, at least mine does.
Good.
And it just travels.
And are you using
the beads?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And
that helps because it gives me a rhythm.
Yes.
And it kind of generates that easier that way.
Yeah. And so on your cruciform beads, you're praying the Lord's Prayer.
Now, I don't use these. I use the others that you give me.
Oh.
Just like these.
Yeah. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then as you go around, you pray the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Good.
And you're saying, hey, if I don't do it, I miss it.
You do. And it makes it easier that way.
Okay.
But my only problem is I learned Lord's Prayer the old.
All right, so you're kind of dealing with some tradition there.
Right.
Just some language.
But it's all there.
Good. All right, anyone else finding it easy? Or is someone finding it hard to develop and have and practice that morning habit?
I think it's a routine.
It is routine.
Because
yeah.
We started a long time ago before your feet hit the floor and you say the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Still do that.
Good.
Very, very rarely do I get up without that.
Good.
But then during the day, I don't have a routine. I just pray whenever I want to.
That's good. No, absolutely. Because we're developing a lifelong, holistic habit of prayer. To pray without ceasing. Yeah. But that has to start somewhere. That has to start somewhere. Okay. Other piece of business, you guys should be jumping into ministry rotations. If you're not serving in a ministry block right now, make sure you talk to me, talk to Mr. Adam. Reggie was working with me this morning. It was really cool. Glad to see that happen. But whether it's serving in the Blessed Said Jackson, you're teaching this morning, right? That was cool. That's cool. So talk to me if you don't have that ministry rotation. Hands and feet of Jesus too, okay? Hands and feet of Jesus too. Okay, what is the Lord's Prayer? Reggie, go for it.
Hold it?
Yeah. Why not?
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
That's really good. Power and kingdom. Good. Miss Brooks, Lord's Prayer, let's hear it.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Excellent. When we talk about the Lord's Prayer, to help us understand it, Ryan, don't scout me. I'm not going to call anybody.
Sorry, I actually know that one.
His lasers were shooting at the top of his forehead. It's like, I dare you to call out. When we talk about the Lord's we talk about the Lord's Prayer, we're encouraging you to understand it in six facets. Okay? Six facets. Kind of like the shape of a hexagon. Okay? Who can give me what those six facets are? Where does it start? Up here.
Character.
Good. Who said character? Well done. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Miss Tiffany. Character. And then what?
Promise.
What's that?
Promise.
No, no. Your kingdom come. Character, kingdom. Say it. Character, kingdom. Good. What's next? Mr. Adam taught last week. Character, kingdom.
Provision.
Good.
Good job.
Let's say it. Character, kingdom, provision. Say it. Character, kingdom, provision. Good. What's next? We're going to talk about it today.
Forgiveness.
Yeah, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Think about that line at the very bottom, that relationship we have one with another. Okay, forgiveness. So, character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness. Say it. Character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness. Good. Where does it go from there? Get us out of our valleys and our difficult places. No, no, that's a part of forgiveness. Guidance. Guidance. Right? Yeah. Lead us not into temptation. Our trials bring us through our hardships. Guide us on a daily basis. So what? Kingdom. We have character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, guidance. Say it with me. Ready? Character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, guidance, and
protection.
Yeah. Jackson, what you got, buddy? You're going to say it? What's the last one? Good. Can you do all six? Character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, guidance, protection. Good job. Good job. Good job. All right. Let's unpack forgiveness, shall we? Shall we? You ready to do that? The Lord's Prayer. Forgiveness. Okay, if you haven't, go ahead and open up your book. We talked about character. We talked about kingdom last week. Mr. Adam helped us with provision, our daily bread, how God sustains us. Our Father is our daily provider. Today, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So our question that we want to answer today is, what does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's forgiveness? What do we think? What does the Lord's Prayer teach us about God's forgiveness? What do you see here unfolding? I mean, there's more than one aspect to this, right? What are we seeing? Jackson?
We have to first forgive others.
Okay. Okay, we must first forgive others. There's a relationship, there's a horizontal aspect to it. Good, good. What else? What else do you see in this? What does this teach us about God's forgiveness? Okay, there's a connection. It's not just what happens here, but there's a connection between my walk with God and my walk one with another. Yeah. So if you've been in the messages, as we talk about justice, that idea of righteousness, walking rightly with God and walking rightly with others, forgiveness, it seems to be a part of that. So here, let's write this down. Let's write this answer down. Okay? Our Father forgives, and we are to ask for and give forgiveness every day. Make sure you write that down. Our Father forgives, and we are to ask for and give forgiveness every day. We're writing it down to help get it into our thinking and get it into our memory. Seeing some pens moving a little bit more. Get that written down, got it written down. All right. Harper's getting it. Reggie, got it. Ryan, good. Give you a sugar coma, man. Nerd, that's serious stuff, buddy. Read this with me. Our Father forgives, and we are to ask for and give forgiveness every day. Let's read it again. Our Father forgives, and we are to ask for and give forgiveness every day. Hey, so last week, give us our daily bread. Okay? So how often do I need to be doing that?
Daily,
right? So every single day, I'm engaging in a life of prayer, of recognizing that as my creator, that he is my daily provider. And then you have this little kind of conjunction that comes at the end of that. Give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts. So there's a connection there. What's that connection? That walking in a life of forgiveness, experiencing forgiveness, giving forgiveness, in the same way that I need daily bread, I need to walk and practice daily forgiveness. Okay. What's Jesus saying about us in this statement?
We're not perfect.
Yeah. Well, spot on. There's something about the human condition that's broken. And it's something that needs to be recognized on a daily, daily basis. So when my wife says to me, hey, that wound from your surgery, make sure you're putting medicine on a daily basis. What is she saying about me, about that wound? It needs attention. It needs regular attention. Okay? If my sons come back from soccer practice, hey, and dad says, hey, don't forget, make sure you're drinking lots of water. What am I saying about them? What am I reminding them? Yeah, Harper.
They need to take care of themselves.
Yeah, they need to be taking care of themselves. They need to be taking in fluids. Jesus is making, we say, a theological statement about we as human beings. And as Ryan pointed out, it's something that needs to be recognized daily. We've talked about this. What's broken? What's wrong with us? We're good image bearers, but what happened? Corruption and treason, which calls for a deep corruption, requires daily confession. Okay? Deep corruption requires daily confession. What you got, Jackson? You're stretching? Dude, sometimes you trick me. Sometimes you're asking questions, and sometimes you're just stretching. Yeah, very cool. Good to see you, Warren. Glad that you're here. Glad that you're here, buddy. As you guys know, I went through a surgical procedure about a month ago, and I need to check to make sure that I'm healing and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing on a daily basis, because it requires daily attention because it's that serious. Okay? Jesus is saying what? If I need to be asking for forgiveness on a daily basis, well, there must be some deep corruption. Oh, this is very serious. There's bells that are going off. It's all right. Is it Linda?
No, it's my blood sugar.
Oh, what's? Why do you have an alarm?
To let me know when it's low.
Okay, because that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Can you get
ice? Hey, Ryan's got some sugary nerds back there. You want to bolus that sucker and see what happens?
I got candy to eat.
Oh, you have candy too. You have candy too. So, because that's an important thing, you have your phone notify you when there's something that needs to be addressed. Yeah, because it's important. Because it's serious. Jesus is saying something about the human condition. He's saying something about the danger of sin when he's teaching us, all right, when we're praying, we need to pray for forgiveness and we need to give forgiveness every day because it's that serious. So let's talk about this thing called sin that's right in the middle of it, okay? Somewhere in your notes, I want you to write these four images down, okay? Because we're going to talk about the four views of sin that are in the Bible. Sin is a monster. Write down the word monster. It's a disease. It's a burden. It is a debt. D-E-B-T. First, it's a what?
Monster.
Second, it's a disease. Third, it's a
burden.
Fourth, it's a debt. All right, it's a monster crouching at the door. In the story of Cain and Abel, both bring an offering before God. Okay, this is Genesis chapter 4. Okay? How many of you remember what Abel brought God to the sacrifice? Anyone remember? What? Yeah, he brought out one of the sheep, one of the first one, one of the best of the flock. Good. His brother Cain, anyone remember what Cain brought? Some crops. Not the best crops, just some crops. Okay? And there's a way that God speaks and says, hey, what you're doing is not best. In fact, he tells us and says, hey, you don't need to be angry. Sin is crouching at the door. And it wants to destroy you. Its desire is for you. My wife and I go to the gym after church on Sundays because you should do that kind of thing, I guess. It's important to her. I try to be supportive. I can't do a lot right now because of the surgery that I have, so I sit in this reclined bicycle and pedal for 45 minutes. That's about all that I'm allowed to do. She's behind me like a hamster in a wheel, an elliptical. This is going as fast as she possibly can. People have actually commented as they walk, wow, she goes fast. And so I don't have anything to do except for watch the TV screens that are up there, which is often ESPN, which is the same 10-second basketball reel played over and over and over again for 45 minutes. Or it's HGTV, which I can't stand at all. And so I can't do it. It's, yeah. And so I have my phone in front of me and I'll bring up Netflix and I'll watch something on Netflix because I have to occupy my mind for 45 minutes. I just can't do it. And so there's a movie on Netflix right now called 65, okay, which is basically about a guy on a spaceship and gets hit by asteroids and lands on Earth 65 million years ago. So now he's being hunted and chased by dinosaurs. And it's that kind of, you know, run for your life, make it to the ship before the asteroid hits and the dinosaurs are trying to hunt you the entire way. Okay, I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm saying it kept me distracted for 45 minutes. Okay? But you have this intense feeling as the music changes and as the fog is lifting and you see the giant imprint of the Tyrannosaurus Rex there on the ground, that there is this thing that is hunting and is chasing me. Now, does it want to just like lick my face and want me to pet it? No. What does the dinosaur want to do? It wants to destroy. Right? It wants to destroy. And that is, believe it or not, that's the very first image of sin in Scripture. Of a monster that wants to destroy you. Yeah, Porter, you have a question.
I think the dinosaur wants to make pizza rolls.
I'm sure, yes. Yeah. These guys in the movie did not want to make pizza rolls. One of the ways of understanding and viewing sin is that it is a monster that wants to destroy you. Another way, and this should resonate with some of the things we talk about, it's a disease. It's a disease that needs to be cleansed. It's a disease that we need to be healed from. The tabernacle in the Old Testament, saturated by sin, once a year had to go through and be cleansed with blood. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the what? The sins of the world. Why? How is that? Because Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin and the effects of sin, the power of sin and death. It's a disease. It's a burden. How many of you like to go weightlifting? I do. Not allowed to. I sit on a little bicycle and pedal for 45 minutes. Oh well. Yeah. Love to go lift weights. Definitely. This is not talking about a weight that you're capable of lifting. This is not talking about a weight that you're capable of bearing. This is talking about the kind of weight that presses and destroys you. Us. You're not capable of lifting it up. That's why it says in the New Testament, bear one another's burdens, and in this you fulfill the law of Christ. That you're carrying something, and I'm carrying something, and alone it will destroy. So it's a monster. It is a disease. It's a burden. And lastly, it's a what?
Debt.
It's a debt. What is a debt? Jackson, Greece, what's a debt?
You got no money.
You got no money. No. That is not a debt. What is a debt? Yeah, you have to pay something back. You have to pay something back. Imagine the Tiffany's department store in New York City where there's lots of fancy crystal, glass, beautiful, expensive things. And I go through, Mr. Adam and I go through, and Porter and we, the three of us, were going through Tiffany's in New York City, and we're just having some fun, and Mr. Adam bumps into me, and I bump into Porter, and Porter bumps into the glass cabinet, and everything just crashes to the bottom. What do they say? You broke it, you
bought it.
Now, I am sure that Porter is well financially off, but I don't know that Porter can handle to pay off everything that he just broke in the Tiffany's department store. He has a debt that he has to pay back. The wages of sin is death. Yeah. Sin is a debt. You broke it. What are some of the things that I have broken in my sinfulness? Carmen, in my corruption, in my treason, what are some things that I might have broken? Brought further damage to. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. That's a beautiful gift that God offers to me, and I broke it, I destroyed it. Good, I saw a hand come up. Harper, what's something that I might have broken? Commandments, yeah. And those commandments are designed to create peace and wholeness. Have you seen any of you say anything mean to someone you love? Harper has? Or you're just saying that maybe you know someone who has. You wouldn't have to say anything. Right? You haven't said anything? You've never said anything. No? When I say something mean, I do something sinful, and if it brings injury and hurt and pain to a human being, well, that human being was created by God. It's valuable, it's precious. Yeah, for sure. You broke it, you bought it. You incur that debt. fracturing and bringing damage and further corruption to what he's created. You break it, you bought it. Of those four, what's the first one?
Monster.
What's the second one?
Disease.
What's the third one? Burden. What's the fourth one? A debt. Which one do you not like at all? Harper? You don't like all of them. Pick one, girl, pick one. Which one kind of stands out in your imagination the most? The disease one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Porter, how about you? Which one stands out in your mind the most?
Disease or monster?
All right. Mr. Bob, me and Bobby McGee, which one stands out in your attention? The burden, the heavy weight pressing down on you. If you've been walking with Jesus for a while, you know that feeling. To walk in sin and to feel the weight of sin pressing down upon your conscience. You look at the Bible, you think about the gift of Christ, and your conscience is just so gripped by, and the weight of sin presses down so much. It feels crushing. Feels crushing. Yeah. Carmen, how about you? Which one stands out the most in your imagination? The disease? Whatever the one is that disgusts you and gets your attention and captures your emotion, hold on to that. Think about that. Because sin should disgust us. It certainly disgusts God. And whether we're talking about a monster, whether we're talking about a disease, whether we're talking about a burden, whether we're talking about a debt, it all ends in the same place. Death. Because that's what sin does. Sin leads to death.
And guilt gut.
And guilt gut. And guilt gut. Not to make light of the burden, but yeah, guilt gut. Something will die. The monster will kill. The disease ends in death. The burden will crush you. The debt will cost you your life. Feel that? You feel that in the room right now? What is that? You feel it? What is that? That's the presence of a deep spiritual reality that touches all of us. All of us. But Jesus shows up, and what does Jesus say? If it's a debt, he says, I'll pay it. If it's a burden, he says, I'll carry it. As he picks up the cross. If it's a disease, he says, I'll cure it. I'll cleanse it. I'll use my blood. I'll wash it clean. If it's a monster, he says, I'll slay it. I'll slay. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Has conquered. Yeah. In Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4. It's a verse that you might want to look at it at some time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. It means everything that God brings with him. Who what? Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and righteousness. Yeah. He forgives and he heals. Here's another passage. This is 1 John 1:5-9. 1 John 1:5-9. We're actually going to talk about this in a few weeks on Sunday mornings. You guys taking notes on Sunday mornings? You guys learning how to do that? Okay, you doing that? Awesome. Show them to your mentors, show them to me. All right. It says this, 1 John. This is the message that we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. What do you think that means, that God is light? and in him there is no darkness at all. Yeah, Porter, what do you think, buddy? Oh, that's good. Okay. There's this guiding quality, yeah, that you can see and you kind of take reference for that. That's good. But what do you think it might mean when it says, in him there is no darkness at all? Where do monsters dwell? Where does disease like to dwell? In the dark. What's a burden? What's a debt? Does it make you feel light or does it make you feel dark?
Dark.
Yeah. So when it says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, it's talking about the sinlessness, the holy quality of God, that he is perfect. Okay? And the passage goes on to say, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, I say I have a relationship with God, but what do I like to do? I like to walk in the dark. What is that? What's a poetic way of what John is saying there? Yeah, Harper. Yeah, exactly right. Spot on, yeah.
What?
She just won a paper, rock, scissors.
Something happened there. I don't know what it was. But I'm pretty sure I lost. You have to teach me whatever just happened there. Yeah, so I say I have a relationship with God, but I walk in sin. I walk with monsters. I walk where the disease is, the burden is, the debt is. I dwell in the dark place. We lie. And it says we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. If I'm honest and open and I come out of the dark into the light, this is me. I'm broken, I'm corrupt, I'm treasonous, I'm separated from God. God says, now we can talk. Now we can be honest and open one with another. We confess our sins, talking about present sin. We confess our past sins, talking about when we have sin. So, well, what are some examples of sin? Yeah, Porter.
Lying.
Yeah. How do you know that's a sin?
Because it says it in the commandments.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. Spot on. Yeah, we don't lie. We tell the truth. Yes, Porter. Don't worship other gods.
No, I know. It says don't worship.
Yeah, so to not obey your mom and dad, that would be an example of sin, something that brings further brokenness and destruction. Treason. Yeah. Gluttony. Greed. Drunkenness. Adultery. Lust. Yeah. The Bible is full of examples where God says, hey, straight up, these are the monsters that will slay you. This is the disease that will sicken you. This is the burden that will crush you. This is the debt that you cannot pay off. Yeah. And some of the things that tempt you might not tempt me, and some of the things that tempt me might not tempt you. We're each kind of different in our personality, in our shape. Yeah. But it's kind of important to recognize what those things are. What are yours? I'm not going to ask you to confess your sins openly. Except Ryan. Ryan has to. Because he gave me a dirty look earlier.
I will.
No, I know you would. You would too. Man, you're an open, honest soul. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. But if I'm going to walk in honesty before God, I need to be honest about those things. I was created to be a perfect image bearer of God. But through treason and corruption, can't do it. Specifically, meaning I need forgiveness. I need to ask for forgiveness every single day. To help you do that, we're going to have you memorize a prayer that we read and say when we gather together on Sunday mornings. This should be in your booklet on the bottom, is that right? Prayer of Confession. Why don't we read it together? Ready? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, deed, by what we've done and what we've left undone. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We're truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen. This is not a magical incantation. It's not some, you know, crazy Christian voodoo that all I have to do is say this and me and the big guy upstairs are good to go. Okay? That's not how it works. When I pray, where do I pray from?
The heart.
Here, right? Yep. I might be thinking it here, but I want it to resonate out of my heart space, a feeling space. And so we use this prayer, and this is a prayer that's been handed down within the church tradition for a while. It just kind of puts all the good words in the same spot. And you don't have to use this, but it kind of helps you understand that most merciful God, we confess. We're going to say out loud. What? We have sinned against you in three ways. You can sin in thought, you can sin in word, sin in deed. By what we've done, and what we've left undone. How is that possible? How can I sin by not doing something?
By ignoring the homeless man on the side of the road.
That one kind of came out pretty quick. Is it, we're talking from experience or anything, yeah. Tiffany, or is it just something that... Oh, yeah. You're exactly right. So here's an opportunity, based on what we talked about this morning. Here's an opportunity to do good to everyone, especially if it's a household of faith. You see someone who is in need. You know what you're supposed to be doing, and what do? You go right by. You're exactly right. Yeah. A sin of omission. You didn't do something you should have done. Or commission, by what I've done. What I've done. Mom and Dad told me to clean my room, and I didn't do it. And I walked away and called Dad jerk face. Jackson didn't do that. I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah. Thought, word, and deed.
Thought, word, and deed.
I'm going to have Carmen elbow you in the eye again.
Yeah. It's tricky, though, isn't that? Because wow, I mean, let's dive in on that. Dad tells me to clean my room. I don't say out loud, Dad, you're a jerk face. But what if I think it? Yeah. Yeah. No wonder I need to practice forgiveness every single day, because my soul is that corrupt and that fractured and that treasonous. We have not loved you with our whole heart. How do I love God? I love God with all my heart. My whole thing, whole heart. Not love my neighbor as ourself. That's... You know, what's the commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I didn't do that. I saw the homeless man. I didn't help him. I didn't respect my mom and my dad. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. I mean, I recognize it, and now I'm going to make a turn. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. We don't deserve it. We're not entitled to it. And what's the result? The result is that I will delight in your will and walk in your way. We'll be in relationship. To the glory of your name, amen. But glorify him. Glorify him. Shine a light upon him. Your challenges this week is to memorize this prayer. If you've been walking with us on a regular basis on Sunday mornings, you probably have a lot of the verbiage inside of you already. Now you just need to spend the time and get that down. And what will happen is, when we get to that moment, like in our corporate worship service, Harper, I used to do this all the time in math class. I would take the pens apart and turn them into rockets. Did you learn how to do that? Did that teach you how to do that? Yeah, all right, so I won't teach you right now.
But yeah, you can actually take the components apart, flip them around so you can, sure, yeah.
Yeah, definitely did not get detention for that one day. You're gonna memorize this. You're gonna memorize it so you have the verbiage, so you have the words, so you have the concepts. Okay? Any questions about this? Yeah.
Where it says we.
We.
Shouldn't that be I?
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There's this corporate component. I've done both. I'll do both. And, once we've got to confess, I have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. But, that's a great point. Let's be honest. When I sin, I affect we. There's this we to it. Even though maybe there's no one around and no one knows about it and it's just me, but we are so connected one with another that the corruption in my soul, like a disease, will overflow into you and will overflow into you. Yeah. And the Lord's Prayer, it kind of really presses us into that corporate component, doesn't it? Give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we pray this in the corporate context to remind us that we are that connected. Does everyone know that Jackson just walked off? Okay. Okay, I don't know if we were like bored. I'm out of here. Let's see what I can go. Very cool, very cool. So we have not loved our neighbors. We are truly sorry because we are that connected. Other questions or observations? I'd like to read something to you. We have a little story time. This is from C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. And you maybe have heard me share this story before. It might be fresh to you. But it's a way of us understanding temptation and sin and what God would like to do for us, to us, through us, walk in relationship with others. So I will sit for story time. This comes from The Great Divorce, where some occupants of hell are given a vacation day to go up and visit heaven. And they ride a bus up from hell to go experience everything that is in heaven. Okay? And this is what they see and what they experience. And at one particular moment, some of the passengers see some angelic beings coming towards them. And a conversation that ensues between an angelic being and one of the passengers that have come up from the nether regions. The narrator speaks. Hi, Jack. I saw coming towards us a ghost who carried something on his shoulder. Like all the ghosts, he was unsubstantial, but they differed from one another as smokes differ. Some had been whitish and some was dark and oily. But what sat on his shoulder was a little red lizard. And it was twitching its tail like a whip and whispering things in his ear. As we caught sight of him, he turned his head to the reptile with a snarl of impatience. Shut up! I tell you! Wagged its tail and continued to whisper to him. He ceased snarling and presently began to smile. Then he turned and started to limp westward away from the mountains. Ah, so soon, said a voice. The speaker was more or less human in shape, but larger than a man, and so bright I could hardly look at him. His presence smote on my eyes and on my body too. For there was heat coming from him,
as well as light, like the morning sun at the beginning of a tyrannous summer day.
Oh, yes, I'm off, said the ghost.
Thanks for your hospitality, but it's no good, you see. I told this little chap, here he indicated the lizard, that he'd have to be quiet if he came, which he insisted on doing. But of course, his stuff just won't do here, and I realize that, but he won't stop. And I just have to go home. I just have to go home. Would you like me to make him quiet? Said the flaming spirit, an angel, as I now understood. Of course I would, said the ghost. Then I'll kill him, said the angel, taking a step forward.
Oh, look out, you're burning me. Keep away, said the ghost, retreating.
Don't you want him killed?
You didn't say anything about killing him at first.
I hardly meant to bother you with anything so drastic as that. It's the only way, said the angel, whose burning hands were now very close to the lizard. Shall I kill it?
Well, that's a further question. I'm quite open to consider it, but it's a new point, isn't it? I mean, for a moment, I was only thinking about silencing it, but here, what? Well, it's just so darn embarrassing.
May I kill it?
Well, there's time to discuss that later.
There's no time. May I kill it?
Please, I never meant to be a nuisance. Really, don't bother. Look, it's gone to sleep on its own accord, and I'm sure it will be all right now. Thanks so very much. May I kill it? Honestly, I don't think that's the slightest necessity for that. I'm sure I'll be able to keep it in order for now, and I think the gradual process would be far better than just killing it.
The gradual process is no use at all.
Don't you think so? Well, I think over what you said very carefully. I'll consider it. I will. In fact, I'd let you kill it now, but as a matter of fact, I'm not feeling frightfully well today, and it'd be really silly to do it now. I need to be in good health for that kind of operation. Some other day, perhaps.
There is no other day. All days are present now.
Get back, you're burning me again! How can I tell you to kill it? You'd kill me if you killed it.
It is not so.
Well, you're hurting me.
I never said it wouldn't hurt you. I said it wouldn't kill you.
Oh, I know. You think I'm a coward, but it isn't that. Really, it isn't. I say, let me run back by tonight's bus. I'll get an opinion from my own doctor. I'll come again the first moment I can.
This moment contains all moments.
Why are you torturing me? You're jeering at me. How can I let you tear me to pieces? If you wanted to help me, why didn't you kill the darn thing without asking me? Before I knew it, it'd be all over by now.
I cannot kill it against your will. It's impossible. I have to have your permission. The angel's hands were almost closed on the lizard, but not quite. And then the lizard began chattering to the ghost so loud that even I could hear what it was saying.
Be careful. He can do what he says. He can kill me. One fatal word from you, and he will.
Then you'll be without me forever.
And ever? It's not natural. How could you live? You'd be only sort of a ghost. Not a real man as you are now. He doesn't understand. He's only cold, bloodless, abstract. It may be natural for him, but it isn't for us. Yes, yes. I know there are no real pleasures now, only dreams. But aren't they better than nothing? And I'll be so good. I admit, I've sometimes gone too far in the past, but I promise I won't do that again. I'll give you nothing but really nice dreams. sweet and fresh and almost innocent. You might say quite innocent.
Have I your permission, said the angel.
I know it's gonna kill me.
It won't. But suppose it did.
You're right.
It'd be better to be dead than to live with this creature. Then I may.
Oh, blast you! Go on, can't you? Just get it over with.
Do what you like, bellowed the ghost. But ended whimpering,
oh, God help me! God help me!
The next moment, the ghost gave a scream of agony such as I never heard on Earth. The burning one closed his crimson grip on the reptile, twisted it while it bit and writhed, and then flung it broken-backed on the turf.
Oh! That's not for me, said the ghost,
reeling backwards. For a moment, I could make out nothing distinctly. And then I saw, between me and the nearest bush, unmistakably solid, but growing every moment solider, the upper arm and shoulder of a man. Then, brighter still and stronger, legs, hands, the neck and golden head materialized while I watched. And if my attention had not wavered, I should have seen the actual completing of a man, an immense man, naked, not much smaller than the angel. What do you think C.S. Lewis is saying in that story? What is he trying to communicate with us?
Harper's got an idea.
Harper, what are you thinking?
If you live with sin, then God can help you, but you have to ask for permission.
You need to ask. The angels, I can't do it unless you give me permission.
And, yeah.
It will hurt you, but it will not. It might. It might hurt you.
It might. But you still have to just do it.
Sometimes, but is it worth it? Yeah. What else is he trying to say in that episode? Great observation. What's the lizard? I know you can't
pull it.
What's that?
Evil spirit.
An evil spirit? Okay.
Or saying it because it's offering it like nice thing.
Trying to tempt him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens to this ghost after it gives God through the angel permission to deal with it? I know you can't. What happens to him?
Human.
He becomes something more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something beautiful. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There is this aspect of talking about sin and walking in repentance where I need God's forgiveness and I need to give forgiveness too. When people sin against me or do things that hurt others, I need to give forgiveness. A lack of forgiveness on our part is a sign that we have not welcomed God's grace in our life. Because who could truly not forgive someone when we have been forgiven so much? Right? It would be a sign of a very dark heart, very much corrupted and under the burden of sin. To say that, oh, I have been forgiven by God, but I can't forgive you for what you did. And so it's right there in the prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive our debtors. We are to seek forgiveness and give forgiveness every day. So we need you this week to slow down, to take some time, and to memorize
that prayer of confession. Why don't we read it one more time? It's in your book. It's in your book. Read it with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we've sinned against you in thought, word, deed, by what we've done and what we've left undone. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We're truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. That line in the Lord's Prayer is a short line, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But so often, that can become a prompt to kind of spend some special time with God. Hey, Jesus, as we reflect back on the day, as you close the day with prayer, Jesus, I did this. Thought, word, and deed. Jesus, I thought this. Jesus, I said this. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor, my mother, my father, my wife, as I should. I'm truly sorry and I humbly repent. I turn from that. But what do I know? God is forgiving. God is forgiving.
So is this also, like, where, like, sometimes we need to forgive ourselves, and we don't? Like, we...
Yeah.
Is that there? Is that covered?
Yeah, I mean, I think... Love your neighbors, you love yourself. And sometimes it can be really difficult because of the ravages and the damages of sin. But when we battle those things, you know, forgiving ourselves, we have to realize that that's pretty arrogant on our part, because God does. And so, why can't I give that over to Him? That doesn't mean it's not a process. You know, I forgive someone, I'm forgiving someone, I have forgiven someone. While at the same time, it's okay to understand that there are consequences. You have scars, right? And you have wounds. Some of the things that we have done have created tremendous fracturing in the world. And it takes a while for those things to heal. We have done things in our life that take a while sometimes for them to heal. Not that they're not forgiven instantly by God, but there are consequences. So sometimes working through those things can take some time. But daily, daily, and being honest with Father, I'm having a hard time moving past this. Help me to be reminded that I'm forgiven. That I'm forgiven. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Been there. So much. Any other closing thoughts? Reggie, what did I forget?
I don't know.
I don't either. But I forgot it. Mr. Adam? Before we dismiss, anything?
Sure, yeah. What did I forget? It's good to spend some time on those words and remember. I think in case of emergency, the first line, most merciful God, don't forget that that's part of His character.
Who He is. Yeah.
So, patient, steadfast love, very merciful.
Mm.
So, if you feel like you can't forgive yourself, yeah, God is very merciful, most merciful. And then, when you said that that wasn't like some magic words,
incantation, yeah.
It's because of what's in the middle. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid a price. We talked about debt. Jesus paid it all.
Right.
He said it is finished. So there was an action required, an action that changed the world in one moment, as well as our action, which is to humbly repent, to let the angel kill it, to turn, to make a change. Saying those words as we examine our heart, if you find yourself, when you think about your thought, your word, or your deed, and it's the same thought or word or deed as it was yesterday and the day before, then you have to stop and spend some time on the repent word. How do I quit stepping in that? I need to take a different path. I keep stepping in the same thing.
Yeah.
My shoe's going to smell the same way when I get home every day, so I better find a new path. That's that. That's all I got for you.
It's good. Spend some time with this each evening. Okay. Work on it a little bit at a time. And you have those words. Participate in those words. And your life with God will flourish because now we're being honest about the things that God calls us to be honest about. Next week, Mr. Adam is going to move us into the next component of the prayer after forgiveness. Is what? Guide us. Lead us not into temptation, our trials, our hardships. Why don't we stand and we'll dismiss in prayer. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. Thank you for putting in the work. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here tonight, those who are on a journey, those who are learning about God, those who are looking at the cross, those who are wrestling with the reality of sin. Jesus, thank you for slaying the monster. Jesus, thank you for cleansing us from the disease. Thank you for carrying the burden. Thank you for paying the debt. If there are those here this evening, Father, that have not asked you to do those things, I pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would bring that to their heart and their mind, that awareness. Lord Jesus Christ, for those of us who have made that decision, help us to rest in the assurance that it is done. It is finished. Jesus, the words that you said upon the cross. We ask, Father God, your blessing and your keeping upon them, your face, your favor, may it rest upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great, great week. Don't forget your honey.